Thank you again for joining us this Sunday for our lesson in Scripture and our church service online. Appreciate Brother Bob Meager being here doing the recording and all the graphics for us. It's a blessing. And also here listening, retired senior master Brent Baker, getting ready to head down to Melbourne, Florida. Congratulations on your service. Thank you for your service. Thank you all the military men and women for their service. I'm in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I'll be preaching from verses 1 through 5. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 through 5. I've titled the message, God's Unending Call to His People. God's Unending Call to His People. Trust that you're doing well during this time. I know that I've heard different rumblings and things, phases trying to get back to normal, different businesses trying to get them opened up. I know that for clergy here in North Dakota, there's been a push that's been started. I've been asked to sign a letter on behalf of clergy in North Dakota to declare church as an essential, I don't know what you call it, but basically clergy being essential employees and church houses being essential businesses, if you will, and trying to get those open back up so that we can get back to worshiping and kind of more or less self-policing, if you will, making sure our facilities are clean, making sure, you know, we're practicing social distancing or whatever, and, you know, washing hands, keeping from shaking hands, doing whatever individual churches feel comfortable doing, basically. And so as those things develop, we will continue to update you and let you know. But just continue to be in prayer and continue to seek ways to be an encouragement and receive encouragement. Again, I appreciate you listening in. Hope that it is an encouragement and a blessing to you. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I'll begin reading verse 1 down through verse 5. The Bible says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" And that's the title verse, text verse, if you will, for the message today. And that particular question, that phrase at the end of that verse, verse 5, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" And as I mentioned, I've titled the message, God's Unending Call to His People. Israel at this point is in a state of revival and on the verge of rebuilding the temple where the Ark of the Covenant will reside. God's people will once again worship God in His house. And I thought this appropriate for today in our time. The people would gather, they would share themselves, they would share in God's truth, and they would share their time with one another in a God-honoring way. Christ became our ultimate example in sharing of Himself, sharing the truth, and sharing His time. This is what we know as Christian love. And it is how we bring others to want what God has given us in salvation. All false worship is a form of manipulation. Those who would take advantage of our God-given conscience, which is the knowledge of guilt, and who would try substituting that for the works or for works instead of grace, are in error. Christianity is a proclamation of the gospel seeking to win the lost, letting the Spirit work, bringing conviction and salvation. David here gives a very simple invitation, which produces a great response. If we would heed the revelations in God's word and allow our hearts to be tender and open to its truths, our response today could be comparable, if not even greater. Again, in verse 5, David asks, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" We begin with that word, "who." This reveals that God is searching for a person. His search is for one person at a time. His search is for an individual response, because an individual response is what makes a group response known. In Acts chapter 16, verses 27 through 31, the Bible says, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.'" An individual response is made, and a group response is known. In John chapter 4, verses 46 through 53, the Bible says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, 'Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' The nobleman saith unto him, 'Sir, come down ere my child die.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Go thy way, thy son liveth.' And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Thy son liveth.' Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, 'Thy son liveth,' and himself believed, in his whole house." The reason that God is looking for a person, the reason that God works through one individual at a time, is because once God reaches into one heart, he begins to work in and through that life to touch others. Immediately starting in the home and stretching that reach out into the community. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses asked the Lord, "Who am I?" And God said to Moses, "Certainly, I will be with thee." God used Moses to reach the children of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible records for us, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" The word "who" makes it personal, meaning that God wants a close relationship with us. The word "who" also represents a question. And there are many questions that are posed to us in this life, but none greater than the questions of eternity. Whether it be our eternity or whether it be the eternity of others, God is interested in the individual. God is interested in you. In verse 5, it continues, It says, who then is willing? Our will is an inner determination brought on by an evaluation of the facts, accumulated with a consideration of the consequences. Let me repeat that. Our will is an inner determination. We determine that within ourselves by evaluating the facts. We accumulate the facts of the situation and we evaluate those facts. And then we consider the consequences. And that's how we establish our will. In preparation for this message, I was thinking about my youngest son and a conversation we were having when he was just 6 years old. And Josiah was talking with me, and I'm not quite sure how we got onto the subject, but he said to me, he said, Dad, he said, I'm never getting married. I'm not getting married. And the reason I'm not getting married starts with the letter K. And I said to him, I said, kids? And he said, shaking his head, no, kissing. He had determined his will. We establish our will when we understand the facts and we ponder the consequences. And yet God reveals his will and guides us into it in what is known as an unction. In other words, you and I cannot outwill God, for he alone controls the consequences. All the way back in Genesis, we see where Eve questioned God's will. Mankind has been questioning it ever since. What is your thought process today? Is God's will before you, or are you trying to outwill God by determining things for yourself without careful consideration of who controls the consequences? Again, we look at verse 5. It says, who then is willing? And the next two words are to consecrate. Here is where God calls us to conform our mindset to his. We do this by establishing barriers which limit our actions to those things found only in his will. As such, it is a proverbial fence that we freely establish, which confines us to spiritual obedience. We conform all of our actions, words, works, and pleasures to the will of God. And this should be a progressive act, just like holiness. As we grow in consideration of God's will and the needs of others, our consecration to him grows. The light of conscience works hand in hand with the light of Scripture. Consecration reveals itself as the only satisfactory and peaceable way to live. Who then is willing to consecrate his service? Our consecration is to be the basis for service that God asks of us. Excuses are removed when consecration eliminates those activities not glorifying the Lord. Service for the Lord is to be a part of all manner of work that we do. Habits of family time, our employment, our finances, worship, stewardship, and more should all bring glory to God. Lack of spiritual service often breeds unrest, discouragement, dissatisfaction, unhappiness, disappointment, and misunderstanding of God's purposes. In all of this time of social distancing and self-quarantining, are you experiencing these things? A good question for you to ask yourself might be, how am I seeking to be of service to the Lord? Are you consecrating your service to him in all of those areas previously mentioned? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Again, we look at verse 5, it says, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day? It's funny to me how the problems of both the past and the future disappear when I learn to handle my todays the way that I should. Your past is something that you need to realize is handled because of the grace of God through the finished work of the cross. Your future is tied to Calvary as well, with the sacrifice that Christ made, securing your place in heaven by faith in Him and His victorious resurrection. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What we do, you and I, this day, is to be the result of the Holy Spirit moving in us to show our appreciation for all that Christ has done for us. Who then is willing to consecrate His service this day? And the last three words, unto the Lord. All truth revealed in this chapter and in the invitation of this text directs us to the one worthy of our devotion. He is due reverence in the highest order possible. He is worthy of honor and praise above any other. We should be smitten with awe and wonder at His display of love and grace. If we should fail to be moved from complacency and sin to godly repentance, then we should understand we are piling judgment upon judgment onto our own selves. May we acknowledge Him as Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. May we be willing to consecrate our service this day unto Him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You and praise You for Your word. We thank You for the many examples that You give us, those who are willing to be used of You. We thank You for David, for being willing, Lord, to build the temple. Though You didn't choose him, You chose His son, Solomon. Father, whatever service You choose us for, whatever area that we can be used, help us to consecrate our lives to You in a more full and meaningful way. God, help us to look for opportunities. Thank You for revealing Your truth to us. Lord, if there's any that aren't saved that are hearing this message for the first time, I pray that they would put their faith and trust in You, Lord, that they would repent of their sin, acknowledge You as the Savior of the world who died on the cross for our sin, accepting and believing that You not only died, but that You were buried and rose again, and put their faith in You, Lord, to give them an eternal home in heaven. And as believers, Lord, I pray that You would help us to be an encouragement, to look for ways and opportunities to show others the love of Christ, to be an example, to consecrate ourselves in our families, in our employment, in our stewardship, in every area, that we might bring honor and glory to Your name. And we'll praise and thank You for all that You do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.